This is the Hollywood Casino Press Box. Now, back to Frank Cusimano from the McBride & Son Home Studios on the all-new 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM and InsideSTL.com.
Welcome back. Hollywood Casino Press Box on the all-new 590 The Fan. Frank Cusimano with you till 12. The KFNS High School Athlete of the Week. Each week, nominees are posted on InsideSTL.com, and you can vote on which player deserves the honor. This week's nominees are Aisha Blackwell, Whitfield. How about this? 75 points, 34 boards, 17 assists in three games. Those look like Russell Westbrook stats. T.J. Crockett, U City, 57 points, 14 boards, 9 assists, 7 steals in 2 games. Allison Gill, John Burroughs, 75 points, 25 rebounds, 5 steals in 3 games. Then we have Dylan Comperduff, Francis Howe, 27-0 and a wrestling champion at 182 pounds, helping his team win the Kyle Thrasher tournament. And then we have Lecter, Lecter, member Monet, Lutheran South, 79 points, 33 rebounds, 7 steals in 3 games. It's the KFNS High School Athlete of the Week presented by Baker Exteriors, a locally owned and operated remodeling company, and All-Star Trophy, quality awards since 1971.
You have a tweet here, Frank, from Jessica Machetta, who is covering the aldermanic meetings that's currently taking place. And this might be kind of an interesting thing for McCaskill. It's coming on in about 10 minutes. Alderwoman Christine Ingracia says, if Eric Greitens pulls the plug on MLS package, it's dead on arrival.
You know what, though? I got to ask you, what really does Eric Greitens have to do? The MLS people now are not asking for a penny. They just want the land. Okay, which is owned by the state. And as I've mentioned before, we've shot the land. It's nothing. It's a piece of crap. And it's going to become a magnificent facility to house championships for the next 50 years. If Greitens doesn't play ball with them on the land, then, man, there's a real problem with this guy.
And Dave Peacock says he'll be meeting on Friday to talk with Governor Greitens about this.
By the way, I applaud Ingracia, Alderman Ingracia, for Alderwoman, I should say, for, you know, trying to get the best deal possible for the city. And they did that. In fact, Alderman Ogilvie was the one who said, look, this is not enough. You guys are going to have to come up with more. And they came up with more. I think the aldermen are doing a fine job in getting a great deal for the city and taking their time. But now the governor, if somebody could tell me, and they could call and text us, is the governor... what he's trying to do. I mean, is he going to work against them on the land? I mean, I can't believe if you got land that's not doing anything, you wouldn't just say, okay, here's the land. We're not giving you a penny, but here's the land. Who else is going to take the land? You know, is there like a big bidding war for that piece of land? I don't understand.
We'll find out how much Governor Greitens wants the people to decide things in Missouri.
Yeah.
With
you're right.
With this meeting on Friday, I feel like. Kevorsky, Frank, we didn't help out the Rams. We even tried to be proactive until it was too late. We all remember Dan Dierdorf warning the CVC about that.
Yeah.
And that was with an owner that didn't want to be here or invest time or money into the area. Yet an owner that does, we make it impossible almost to get anything done. Sounds about right for the city.
I don't know how both of you feel, but I think it is apples and oranges. I mean, you have owners that definitely want to be here and be here for a long time. You have a league who definitely wants to be here for a long time, as opposed to an owner that wanted to get the hell out of Dodge and a commissioner who wanted no part of our town. So, I mean, it really is apples and oranges. That's why, you know, our city should cooperate, unlike with the NFL, which they tried to cooperate at the end, but it was just too late.
That Harold Snepsis is so tough. I hear he eats a bowl of glass for breakfast and washes it down with a gallon of gas. Hipster, Tower Grove South.
Let's see.
If Tom Brady wins the Super Bowl, when Commissioner Goodell hands him the trophy, he should say thanks for what you've done to professional football in California. That's from first name Hugh, last name Jess.
Nice.
Ben Fredrickson, by the way, writing his column today about what he wants to see happen in the event the Patriots win a Super Bowl.
Yeah. I guess, you know, I don't think people in St. Louis have ever been fans of the Patriots. But in this game, because of the way Goodell treated Brady and the fact that you have Chris Long, you know, why not? Although I wouldn't be upset if the Falcons won. That'd be kind of a cool story. And you talk about a career-defining game. I read this stat the other day that if Matt Ryan's the MVP, which he's going to be, and he wins the Super Bowl, there's never been a quarterback to be an MVP and to win a Super Bowl and not make the Hall of Fame except Kurt Warner.
Which hopefully ends.
Which could change in a couple of days.
Saturday, exactly. When they announce
wow.
Saturday,
yeah. I don't think you could give that to Matt Ryan, though. I mean, this is just a fine career and then one remarkable outlier of a season at this point. Unless he follows it up over the rest of his career with some really impressive stuff, I don't think he's a Hall of Famer, is he?
Well, I agree with you right off the bat that when you think Matt Ryan, you don't think, you know, like Hall of Fame right off the bat. You just, you know, and I think that's sometimes a really good way of, you know, saying, is this guy Hall of Famer? When you say his name, do you think Hall of Fame right away? But I tell you what, Brendan, if you look a little closer and you see the fact that this guy has, you know, it's 37,000 passing yards. He's got a realistic chance to get to 50. He's got 4 Pro Bowls. And then if, you know, Mitz, let's say he gets to 6 with an MVP and a Super Bowl win. I mean, this is a huge 3-hour time period for Matt.
Yeah, if he wins this game and he's only 31 years old, he's on track to continue having a fine rest of his career, racking up those numbers. You have the Super Bowl ring. Yeah, that would put him on a pace, certainly, to have a chance at it.
Who's the quarterback who he's most compared to all the time?
Matt Ryan?
Yeah. Think about this closely.
Is this a current quarterback or
yes.
a past quarterback? Current quarterback.
Came in the same year.
Wow, 2008 came in the same year.
God, is Joe Flacco that
exactly.
long ago?
Okay. Yeah. The difference is Flacco just had a startling playoff and
yeah.
Super Bowl and has been relatively above average for most of his career.
The big joke is Joe Flacco elite. That's always
yes.
been the running
elite
joke.
Elite quarterback.
Yeah. And you know, then you can't deny how he wasn't a game manager that stretch. He was winning games.
Oh yeah.
Problem is he hasn't done enough since. So or even before that. So that's going to be interesting to follow. A quick word about Westminster Christian Academy. We'll get to a few more texts in just a moment. But if you're looking for a school for your son or daughter, and they're entering the 7th grade or entering high school, we recommend Westminster, 997-2900, website WCASTL.org. Best thing to do is set up a shadowing procedure for your son or daughter, and then they'll go out there, and then they'll fall in love, because there's no more beautiful campus than Westminster Christian Academy in town and country. All right, what else you got?
The Kaskaskia River Monster. The governor's too concerned about passing right to work, and cutting everybody's wages in the state.
Yeah, boy, you're right. And there's a lot of our great union people at Channel 5 that are worried about, you know, becoming a right-to-work state and what that would do to them.
I still can't figure out what any of that means, but I'm trying to understand the right-to-work thing, but I know a lot of people are upset about it.
Our photographer, speaking of one of those union people, Joe Young, has just sent me a photo of the Board of Aldermen meeting this morning, and it is a packed house there. It's crowded. All right, what else you got there?
Never did I think we'd spend over the last year how much time has been spent discussing aldermen.
You're right.
It's our favorite topic.
Prior
nowadays.
To that, in the 10 years before, how much time did you spend talking about aldermen on this show?
You're right. Hey, I want you to do with your laptops or with your phones, Google a picture right now of Jack Kodar, COATAR, Jack Kodar, Board of Aldermen in St. Louis. See if you got a picture of him. And tell me who you think he looks like a younger version of.
Oh, a younger version. I'm looking at one now. He's got a full head of hair.
Yeah, come on now.
Is it kind of like Mike Bush?
No.
I
mean, that's not bad.
Is he famous?
Yes, very famous, and he's an arch enemy. And I've mentioned his name already in this radio program.
Oh, gosh. I don't think I'm
Don't you think he looks, and I asked him, I said, do you ever hear that? He goes, oh, yeah. How about that picture especially, too? Does that not look like a young Roger Goodell?
Oh, my God.
If you find him one in the suit, that's the one that Frank's
talking about. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he does kind of look a little bit like Roger Goodell. Yeah.
And this guy's really good. I like everything about him.
Does he talk better than Goodell?
What's that?
Does he talk better than Goodell?
Oh, he does. Yeah,
okay,
he's a great talker.
Talk in circles.
He's really pro St. Louis, so it's another thing.
There you go.
He's not.
He speaks Wednesday, doesn't he? The commish?
Yes.
All right.
Yeah. But I told that may hurt you in St. Louis because this guy's got everything going for him. He'll be a mayor one day. But I said, boy, you look too much like Goodell to win a general election here.
Is he a Democrat?
He is, but okay. You probably have to be a Democrat, right?
Yeah.
In St. Louis, yeah.
Yeah. But, I mean, this guy's pro-St. Louis, pro-business. He's a good man. Democrats are good people, too. So
does Jim Thomas, I guess, get to ask about the Rams in St. Louis?
Yeah, that's a good idea. All right, what else you got over there? Let's see. Oh, boy, I lost my... I can't get it back. All right, if you'd like to be a part of the program, you can call us at 855-282-8255. That is the Winning Streak phone line. And we also have the Lions Choice text line. I got a call from young Alex, who actually went to Las Vegas this weekend. And he said, hey, Dad, the Billikens are getting 14. I hate it when he calls me with gambling questions. It's a bad thing. It means I failed as a parent if my son called me with that. And he's 24 years old. And he says, Billikens getting 14 against, was it George Washington? Let's see. I think it was George Mason. I don't know who it was. But he said, that seems like a lot of points and they're played a good game. I said, boy, Billikens on the road. I don't think I'd do that. And they covered.
Oh, they covered. They lost by 8. It was George Washington.
Yeah. So I probably cost them a little bit, but he's been a part of the Frankie C. He's benefited from that.
Oh, has he? I just keep rolling along with the money lines against Missouri and it hasn't failed me yet.
No. All right, hey, it's our pleasure to welcome the United States Senator, the great Claire McCaskill. Senator McCaskill, how are you today?
Claire is great, Frank. I'm fine. I was looking forward to this interview because, you know, sports can be a refuge in difficult times. And I'm, you know, when I try to take a break from some of the serious policy stuff we're grappling with right now, I get a chance to really get depressed and look at the Mizzou basketball team.
Yeah, that must be tough for you, being a lifelong Tiger fan, to see this. I guess they haven't won a game on the road in over 1,100 days. You probably have a rapport, and you've known Kim Anderson, who's a good man. It's just not working.
It's just not working. And, we were 1-for-17 on three-point shots. You know, there's something fundamentally a problem here. We're an SEC school. We have more money than we've ever had. We've got to get the kind of talent in there that can shoot better than 5% from three-point land. And I guess I'm spending a lot of time celebrating men's wrestling and women's basketball right now.
Yeah. How about the football program? They showed a light at the end of the tunnel, winning the last two of their last three games in the SEC. Do you like the future of Barry?
Well, you know, we'll see. I mean, I'm going to be optimistic. You know, I think he deserves more of an opportunity to put his stamp on it. And although I was disappointed seeing that that receiver we had from Kansas City decided to ditch us and go to Notre Dame, that's unfortunate. As you guys all know, and obviously all your sports fans that listen, recruiting is such a huge part of this. You know, if you don't have the ability to attract athletes to a school with a great tradition and SEC conference, you got to really examine what's going on. I know there's a lot of competition out there, but we really got to step up our game.
Senator Claire McCaskill joins us on the Hollywood Casino Press Box. Frank Cusumano with you till 12. You know, there's a lot of sports things going on at City Hall as we speak. I know that you're busy in Washington, D.C. on the national scope, but I want to ask you, you know, the MLS desperately wants to come to St. Louis and has sent letters saying, hey, if you get this stadium built, we're going to give you all-star games and international friendlies. The NCAA has told the Sports Commission, if you get this stadium built, we're going to bring you national championships in men's and women's soccer, football, small college championships, lacrosse championships. So where do you think it stands right now? It got through the Ways and Means Committee. I think it's going to get through the General Board of Aldermen. Then it'll go to a vote of the city. How do you see this, Senator?
Well, there's a number of steps that are going to have to take place. I mean, the Board of Aldermen have to approve it, and then we're going to have to, if we want it on the April ballot, a judge is going to have to step in and get it on the April ballot because the technical deadline has passed. So, you know, listen, I'm glad people will have a chance to vote on it. And here's the hard thing. It is really easy politically to say, we don't want any millionaires getting any help from taxpayers building any stadium, especially after we got burned by that jerk Stan Kroenke. You know, it is really hard to get our arms around it. So a lot of politicians are just going to take the position, well, I'm against it. But, you know, there's plenty of cities that will take an MLS team. And if we could change the whole business dynamic of professional sports right now, where they are asking for and getting public support across the country, I'd be down for that. I'm not excited about it. On the other hand, we are an amazing sports town, and I know there's room for a great deal of loyalty and a great deal of economic development around a professional franchise in soccer. I just watch my grandchildren. I mean, you know, they want to talk about soccer and soccer players and play soccer more than anything else. And, you know, we're in great shape with the Blues and the Cardinals. It would be great to add MLS to that. But I get that the people need to decide, but I'm a little disappointed that leaders of our state that want to spout about jobs and economic development are taking the easy political position rather than taking the time to explain that this isn't as if it's, you know, us funding it and or not. It's whether or not we get the team. And if we don't want the team, if we don't want professional soccer, so be it. But I think they ought to be honest about that.
Yeah, a couple of things there. You know, it's one thing for Governor Greitens to come out and say there will not be any public money at all for the stadium. That's one thing. But it's another to not play ball with them on the piece of land where the stadium would be built, because they're not, I think they realize they're not going to get any money out of them, but you'd think the least they could do is, hey, you can have this land, which, by the way, is a piece of crap that nobody is using right now.
Yeah, I would hope so. I would hope so. And I would hope the voters, as they make up their mind, will think about, you know, that the benefits that we get as a city from our professional sports franchises. Listen, none of those guys that are owners of that team. I mean, Dave Peacock's a friend, but, you know, and obviously we know DeWitt. But, you know, I'm pretty sure that most of them are not people that really support me. So this isn't about me wanting to help millionaires or billionaires. This is about me caring deeply about St. Louis and the amazing history we have of supporting our sports teams and enjoying sports and being able to compete on a national level, even though we have a smaller media market and almost always a smaller payroll.
One thing you know a lot about is winning elections. You've been very successful. So let's just say Dave Peacock, Jim Cavanaugh from SCSTL, after this is approved by the Board of Aldermen and gets on the ballot, let's say they have a meeting with Claire McCaskill and say, how do we win this vote in the city of St. Louis, where I believe 30% are under the poverty level? What would you suggest to them?
Well, I would be really careful with language, not BS the numbers. I would make sure that the numbers are solid, so that when you talk about jobs and you talk about economic activity, you're not making it up. Now, we're going to have a lot of economic activity in St. Louis because of the National Geospatial Administration building, the NGA building, that's going to bring literally billions of economic activity and really a large employer with really good-paying jobs. And that whole area is going to be in flux, and there's going to be a lot of subsequent development. And obviously the stadium would augment that. And, you know, I think if they're honest with the voters and explain that, you know, hey, if we don't do this, we're just not going to have it. You know, it's not like they're going to do it, because somebody else will do it. Another city will do it. San Diego will do it. Somebody else will do it. They will support with public money a stadium coming. And then the voters can decide. I know this. We need to get a lot of young entrepreneurial talent into St. Louis. And part of that are the amenities. Part of that is the quality of life. It's way more important than trying to, you know, get rid of unions. I mean, if Eric Greitens thinks getting rid of unions is the key to the kingdom, and we've had more job growth in our state than many of the states that have tried to get rid of unions. That's not what companies look for. They look for a vibrant workforce. They look for the amenities that a city has that will excite their employees and the and their customers about what St. Louis is. And it's an intangible, but it's really important. And so I hope that they do an honest campaign and don't BS the numbers. You know, that's why people are burned, because we got hoodwinked by Stan Kroenke in the NFL.
What about somebody like the alderman Antonio French, who basically says no one in my constituency cares at all about soccer? We have many more pressing needs like schools and policemen and violence. What's your response to that?
I think that's true, and I don't fault Antonio French for making that statement. There are two issues here. What are those things that allow people to live safely in their neighborhoods and put a roof over their head and allow them to feed their children? That is should be of primary concern to anybody who is running for mayor in St. Louis or anybody who serves on the board of aldermen. But those people need to have good jobs. And growing jobs is way more important than any public program, because if that family has a good job, then all of a sudden the other things begin to improve. The neighborhood gets more stable. The roof over the head is not a month-to-month problem. No more needing of assistance for getting food for their children. So, you know, jobs. So that's why the supporters of this stadium need to do a really good job explaining, and without exaggerating, what the impact could be for jobs for the people who live in the city, both north and south and east and west.
Before I let you go, a couple of quick national questions. Are you in favor of lowering corporate tax rates and comprehensive tax reform?
I am in favor of that. But the only way, right now the real tax rate that most corporations pay is much lower than the tax rate because we have so many goodies in the tax code. There are sectors of our economy that skate away without paying any taxes because they can use various provisions of the tax code. So it's a little bit disingenuous to say we have the highest corporate tax rate in the country. There may be a mom and pop dry cleaners that's paying that rate. But the vast majority of companies in our country are using other things in the tax code to bring down the real tax rate. So I'm fine with bringing it down as long as we get rid of those goodies. But if we don't get rid of the goodies and we bring it down, then the middle class takes it in the shorts again. The middle class is left holding the bag again. And what I worry about, what I've seen from President Trump and his tax reform, is that it's worried way more about people who sweat capital gains than people who sweat at work.
And how would you characterize the last 72 hours in Washington, D.C., and what's going on?
Well, it's really unfortunate. If you're going to make our country safe, you've got to realize that everything you do has a reaction. And the reaction to this around the globe does not make our country safer. The jihadists, the terrorists, are gleeful right now because now they can use this executive order is proof that Americans hate Muslims. And that recruiting, it's bad for our military. It's bad for our allies, especially the Iraqi military that's fighting ISIS with us shoulder to shoulder. And we tell them you're no longer welcome in our country. We have Iraqi pilots, Frank, right now training in the United States to help us bomb ISIS. And we do this. So he should have consulted more with General Kelly and General Mattis. They should have worked out this in a way that was not so chaotic. And frankly, they're ignoring the facts. I mean, we have extreme vetting. I urge all your listeners to pull up last night's 60 Minutes and look at the vetting. I went to Jordan to look at it. I mean, we're doing iris checks. It takes years to get approved as a refugee to come to this country. There already is extreme vetting. So this was political pablum. It was drafted and executed by a couple of political operatives in the White House without the meaningful input from our military or from the general who is running Homeland Security. And it's unfortunate, and frankly, it sends a signal to the rest of the world that we don't love religious liberty. And that's the bedrock of our country. is religious liberty and the freedom to practice religion without the government discriminating against any religion. And when the president goes on TV and says we're going to prioritize Christians, that sends a chill across the world that we are no longer the beacon of liberty and freedom of religion.
What about the wall? Many people think it's too extreme, but is it a good idea to try to curb the amount of drugs and undesirables coming into this country with a little bit more scrutiny?
No question, we've got to do that. But General Kelly will tell you that about half the people showing up the border are not trying to loot escape. They're showing up and turning themselves in because they're coming in from Central America because of the drug trafficking. So who is helping us with that right now? Who is stopping some of those people at their southern border? Who is our partner in the narco trafficking? That would be Mexico. So when you, do statements that the president has done, it doesn't exactly make Mexico warm and fuzzy about cooperating with us. And I'm for stopping anybody who's coming across the border illegally and arresting anybody who comes across the border illegally and, making them go back to the countries they live. But there's other ways to do it besides a wall that are frankly more efficient and more effective. And I think that the wall has become a political symbol for President Trump. And, General Kelly said in his confirmation, a wall is not the most effective way to do this. So, and by the way, Mexico's not going to pay for it. They're not going to pay for it. And I'm not big on wasting taxpayer money. So I hope that General Kelly is allowed to be in the room when some of these political operatives in the White House are making these decisions. I think we'll have much more secure borders and a much more effective policy in terms of keeping our country safe.
Final thought. What do you think he can do well? Do you think he will cut better deals with countries that are so lopsided right now against the United States? Do you think he can do that as a positive?
Well, he's the president of our country. I disagree with those on the left that say, you got to fight him against everything. That's not me. I voted for Kelly and Mattis because I know them. I've worked with them. They're really, really smart, solid men, and they can help the president if he'll let them. But negotiating with foreign countries is a little different than negotiating business deals because you've got to be careful what you say. You have to have stability and predictability when you're president. You don't have to when you're a real estate guy. You can be unpredictable and be effective. But when you're unpredictable and our friends aren't really sure how good of friends we are anymore and you're cozying up to our enemies, and make no mistake about it, Putin is an enemy. He is an enemy. He wants to kill democracy in the womb. He wants democracy to be over with. He doesn't believe in democracy. So I think he needs to realize that while his unpredictability may have worked really well in the business world, stability and dignity and predictability as to who we are and what we stand for is really important on the worldwide stage for us to get the best deals we can. But I wish him well, and I hope he negotiates great deals, and I hope we have more jobs. But I'm a little worried that he's still tweeting about the TV ratings of The Apprentice after he's taken on the most important responsibility in the free world, and that is leading the unparalleled strength of the United States of America.
One last thought. The debt is certainly out of control, about $20 trillion. Do you think he certainly made it a point of his campaign to do something about it? I run into people all the time, the debt doesn't matter. The debt does matter if you care about your grandkids. Do you think he can be a little bit more conscious of this nearly $20 trillion debt?
I can't tell. This is a guy who makes money off debt. He always uses other people's money. He survives bankruptcy in great shape, and his creditors get stiffed. So this is somebody who really believes in leveraging debt. I can't tell if he's serious about the debt. He appointed somebody to OPM who has been a real fiscal conservative, but I haven't seen anything out of him yet that would indicate that the debt and our fiscal accountability is one of his priorities. He wants to spend $1 trillion on the infrastructure, and he wants to give big tax breaks to people in the 1%, and not so much to folks in the middle. That also increases our debt. When they repeal Obamacare, that will increase our deficit and debt. Because he's going to give a tax cut on capital gains and investment income and a surcharge to the very wealthy when that is repealed. So time will tell whether he's going to be a debt hawk. And it's just he's been on everything all over the board. So all of us are kind of wait and see. You know, will the real Donald Trump stand up? Which one do you really believe in? Because he's taken both sides of most issues in the campaign.
Senator, honored to have you on the program. We'll talk soon. Hope you can help this this city out getting a soccer team.
Thanks, Frank. It's great to be with you.
All right. Senator Claire McCaskill joining us, Hollywood Casino Press Box. We'll take a short time out. When we come back, young Alex has not listened to his father, and it worked out really well.